God's woe pronouncement. When you will read in the scriptures of the New Testament, you will see woe. Now, when you see woe, and the Lord is using the woe, that means direct condemnation from God. So I know that when God says woe, when we're reading it, that means I need to focus on the rest of that verse because it's a condemnation. Now, if I can read what God condemns, should I not learn then if God has condemned this and telling us that condemnation comes to those who do these things? Should we not then take it to our heart and say, when God says, woe, woe. When God says, giddy up, giddy up. You do what your Savior directs us to do. Well, what if I hurt someone's feelings? Once again, I share with you folks, listen, I am hurting so bad, worried about lost souls. And it takes too much trouble dealing with Christians that ought to be on a solid foundation. There's a lost world out there that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And we have no rights to sit in the confines of a building and only in the confines of this building to proclaim the truth of Jesus. Christianity is a walk with Christ every minute of the day, not necessarily every waking minute. The Lord will bless you in your sleep, direct you when your vision is not accurate. Trust the Lord in all that we do. First woe that God brought against us was, or that we read in Scripture of Luke 11:42-52. How I'll read those, I have no idea. But 42 through 52, you will find the woe charges of God. And the first one last Sunday we looked at was blocking the key of knowledge, blocking the truth. Now, don't we remember that this was done for years and years? Don't let the average person have the Bible in their own hand. If they have their Bible and they are reading exactly what God says, then they may not allow us to control them. So therefore, keep God's word out of the hands of the normal person. Well, you see, I think everybody is a normal person. The priests, the preachers, we have no closer access to God than anyone else who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've simply been called to a different ministry within God's congregation. And that ministry is to lead and direct and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. So when the religious leaders of Jesus' day, when they began to persecute the Christians, they were supposed to tell everybody about the Messiah to come. They didn't even show up when he did come because they would have lost power. Well, all power to Christ. All power to God the Father. He said, I will bless your life. My life has been blessed, continues to be blessed. It doesn't matter if I'm a pauper. Doesn't matter in any state that I will find myself in the ditch of life, folks, I'm blessed because I know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Christians, you are blessed. You know Jesus. And so therefore, don't worry about the battles going on around you in your own world. Look to the world out there that does not know Jesus. I listen to folk, certainly over the years, being connected with the prison systems. Language gets a little wild sometimes. But you know something? When you're talking to someone about Jesus Christ, would you do this? quit worrying about how they talk back to you. You're not there to correct them on their language. Oh, you don't realize how much that offends me. When they're offending Christ, you are to offer them love. And how many times would I hear people tell another person to go to hell? That individual is going to hell. These people are going to hell. You have absolutely no right any more than I do on the ultimate judgment of hell. I have a calling from God to say, thus saith the Lord thy God. And the Lord says, if you don't accept me, you will not enter the kingdom. The only other place to go is to hell. But I don't want to say that with a smile on my face or excitement in my heart or being braggadocious in that as being a Christian. Knowing that, I want to love them. I want to share the truth. Folks, I don't want anyone to go to hell. And I met some of the hardest core criminals in the country. The Lord says, I am that ultimate judge. Now, don't you take it too far either, because God is the ultimate judge, heaven or hell. But you have an obligation as a Christian to judge between right and wrong. And then you'll hear people say, well, you know, God didn't tell me to judge. Yes, he did. He said, judge the difference between right and wrong. Amen. You will recognize what is wrong, and you should recognize what is right. But don't condemn to hell. You have no authority over that. Gosh, Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, I guarantee you, there's a lot of condemnation going out on him because he was killing Christians and a part of their death. And then the Lord touched his heart. He accepted Jesus. And the majority of the New Testament's penned by the Apostle Paul or Luke, who followed him. So think about it. The Lord says, I'll show you what is condemnation from my standpoint, and I will speak the woes. But pay attention to your heart as an individual. Reach out. Love the unlovable. After all, weren't you unlovable when God loved you? Each of us? You know, we didn't have much going for us, folks. All we knew was sin. Jesus comes, he touches our life, and he says, now, Larry, don't be worried about eternity because you're going to be with me. But you're not here yet, Larry. I count it as though you already are, but you don't. You have a ministry to take care of right there on planet Earth. And then I want you focusing on my word, my truth. We don't have time for foolishness. God says, when you block the key of knowledge, you're blocking his word. The second thing that we learn, that the woe charge was given against the religious leaders of the day because they were legalistic, unjust, and unloving. Legalistic, unjust, and unloving. Now, when you become legalistic, you're telling somebody, now, wait a minute. Now, I know, young man, young lady, you just accepted Jesus, so you really may not know this, but here's how I want you to dress. Here's how I want you to look. And here is the manner in which I want you walking around. You do not want to follow that person, folks. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, would you? Allow the Lord to share in your heart what you need to be doing in life. Not someone else saying, this is what you need to do. Listen to Christ. If I'm saved, I'm saved. Doesn't matter whether I have a suit on, open shirt, or in shorts. I'm saved. So God says, don't be so legalistic. You know, there's one way, Jesus. There's nothing legalistic about that. What did he do? Larry, I give you free will. You can accept me or reject me. Now, here it is, Larry. I've called you to ministry. Now, he didn't say, okay, here's the way it is. I want you to go from point A to point B in your life, Larry. I want it done. No, he didn't. What he says was, Larry, I've called you to preach my word. Therefore, I will bless from A through Z, giving you the free will to take my message. I want you to be you. God did not strip me of my good part of personality, bad part of personality. I mean, most of my friends are grouches. So God did not strip me from that. He said, I want you to take the personality that I've given to you, and I want you to glorify the name of my son through the personality that I've given you. And Larry, you're not going to be able to relate to a lot of people, but I want you to take the you. God did not tell me that I needed to change myself. He didn't tell you that. Already look at your bookcase. You got volumes of the new leaves that you've turned over in our life. Volume after volume. He has said to you and to me, I want you to humble yourself in my presence. I do not want you humbling yourself before man. Listen to me. You are to humble yourself in the presence of God. And as you humble yourself to me, I will be with you on your walk through life. Life isn't easy, is it? Life gets rough. Life is overbearing. Life is not fair. But God says, life isn't fair. But I have no right to contribute to its unfairness any more than you do. You and I are called. Folks, we're losing a nation. Oh, listen, let me bring it home. We're losing family structure. We're witnessing that which is evil called good, and that which is good called evil. Well, I noticed this past week that we Baptists are going to be put on some kind of a list as agitators and something. I've been on every list there is anyway. You're not a prison chaplain for as many years as I was not to be on somebody's hit list. But think of it. Christianity is contributing to a disrupt society. I can't remember the term that was used. Any of you remember that? Throw it at me. You're going to have to listen, Randy, to the news a lot more, son. Pay attention to God speaking. Will they not call you names? I told our group Wednesday night that if you don't have enemies, shame on you. If you don't have enemies, shame on you. Because Jesus said, when you're following me, they hated me, they'll hate you. If you don't have enemies in your life, you got a problem. And the enemies you should have in your life are those who are enemies of yours because of your Christian faith. Praise God for that, folks. And when they come up to you and say, I'm not going to pray for you anymore, praise God for that one. Some people, frankly, you don't want praying for you. Deal with reality living. Deal with what is real in our life. God said, I've called you. Now, my calling to you is real. My word to you is real. I will give you the words. I will give you the voice. I'll give you the direction. But recognize that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Meaning, our walk on earth, there's no point, any point, to where God walks away from his family. No point. But we witness families walking away from God. Oh, I don't understand what's wrong. You know, I thought I raised my children right by telling them, well, you don't have to go to church. It's up to you. You make your own decision. Well, why would we need parents if children don't need parents to guide them, to direct them, to support those kids, to lift them up. I want to be at peace, and I want my family at peace. But my family will not be at peace until my family understands what it means to follow Jesus. God says, I have a purpose for you. God doesn't create junk. I get so upset at people that talk about, well, that baby is not wanted. That baby is wanted by Jesus. That baby is wanted by God. That is Jesus who will stand up for that child. And to listen over the years to parents that would tell their children they were an accident. We never wanted you anyway. That hurts, folks, when you hear it. It hurts. You were never wanted, but you all I got. Jesus came so that you and I could have eternal life with him. My prayer has been, since God called me into the ministry, I wanted to be able to lead people to Christ. I wanted to be able to share with them the Christian walk through Christ. And I wanted them to be able to see me die like a Christian. I know what God has called me to next year. I do not know at the end of next year. But I'll promise you this, with all my heart, every time I stand in this pulpit to proclaim God's word, you will hear God's word. I will not back off because I love you. You know I love you. I've watched most of your kids grow up right here. I've baptized them. I've hugged them. I fussed at them for running in the halls. Now I'm fussing at kids, theirs, running in the halls. And it does me good. God called me into the ministry, preaching his gospel. I will leave this ministry, preaching his gospel, and wait for the next step. I don't know. The only thing that I know is this. This next year, as your pastor, I will dedicate every bit of who I am for you to hear the truth of God. I began it glorifying God. Sometimes things happen. It's happened to you all also. Sometimes life happens. Life hurts. That's why you and I are called by God to put our arms around one another, to support one another. When one is in the ditch of life, every one of us better head for that ditch. When we know that our family of God are hurting, we better be doing all that we can to help them with that hurt. We need to cry with one another when we're hurting. We need to laugh with one another when we are in joy. But we always need to work with one another. You see those personalities on either side of you? If they weren't there, you're going to miss them. When that personality pulls out, where you would say, oh, it was nothing but a grouch. Yeah, I love those grouches. And when one leaves, a part of me leaves. When one in your family hurts, do not you hurt mom and dad? When your child is begging for help, do you not do everything within your power to help them? I share with you, by the power of God, you and I are responsible. We're responsible for our children. We're responsible for one another. I am my brother's keeper. Be responsible enough to take God's message to the world. But first start. Remember what Jesus says? Begin right here in Jerusalem. Start right here in Vine Grove Baptist Church. And from here, you move out. Taking God's word. Only hope I have and you have is the truth of God. Don't you let someone hinder that truth because of their own pride or whatever. For God says, thus saith the Lord thy God. When God says woo to that, back off. When God says speak, though they stone you in the process. Remember Stephen? Oh, I love it. As Stephen, the first martyr in Christendom. And they were getting ready to stone him. But Stephen refused to renounce Christ. Remember all the kids that refused to renounce Christ? All the Christians throughout the other part of the world that refused to renounce Christ, losing their head? And the only place you'll find this in Scriptures, in the book of Acts, never see it again. Everywhere throughout Scripture, you will always read Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But at the beginning of the church era, this young man, Stephen, refused to renounce Christ or be stoned. And as the stones were coming, what was he doing? Was he crying and, oh, please don't do this? No. He was preaching, but it was what he was preaching. As they were stoning him to death because he stood for Jesus, he said, I see my Lord in heaven. He is standing at the right hand of God the Father. Stephen stood for Jesus. Jesus stood for Stephen. And Stephen was killed by stoning, and he smiled, knowing this is only the beginning. Folks, it's only the beginning. May God revive us again. May his true word, his true voice, his true church stand up to be counted. For when a Christian stands up for Jesus, read the book, Jesus is always with him. Because I leave this body or you leave your body, folks, that doesn't say that God didn't love you or it was punishment. That happens to be the reward getting out. But what if God calls you to stay a little longer and a little longer and a little longer? He's quite able to take care of any situation without his leadership. You and I will have no hope, and we'll continue to watch the greatest nation and the face that's ever been known fall to the ground because we turned our back on the truth of Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we lift our heart to you, Lord, we know that you love us. We know, Father, that all the hurt that we have inside for one another, that can only come from your love. And Father, we beg for your peace, that each step we take, each word we utter, each thought we have will be on your truth. Give us direction now, Father, for the remainder of this day and all to come, that we might truly understand you still are in control and you still love us. Despite our actions, bless us now, Father, in your presence. Give us that strength, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.